Hello and welcome to another episode of the SEO Unplugged podcast. I'm your host, Itamar Blau, and today I'm joined with Daniel K. Chung, who's the SEO manager at Adobe and a schema markup consultant. Daniel, how's it going?
Mate, Itamar, it's been a minute since I talked to you. And well, I'm very excited to be on this show to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, schema markup and semantic SEO. And yeah, life's good. I can't complain.
Awesome. And you're right, it has been a minute. But we're here now. So let's begin with schema markup. And obviously, this is the whole point of today's episode. So just to understand it from your perspective as somebody who's been looking into it pretty comprehensively, I would say, and I would say a lot more comprehensively than most people out there. I'm just going to say that objectively speaking. So from your perspective, just so that if people are listening who aren't as, you know, up to date with what it is, could you tell us what schema markup is and why you think it's important?
Ooh, really good question, Itamar. So what is schema markup? I guess the easiest way to explain it is to describe it as it's quite simply language that a search engine understands. Now, irrespective of what level or how much experience you have with search engine optimization, I think we all agree that Google is pretty much an information retrieval system. It ranks that content. But in order to rank that content, it needs to understand that content. And to date, it relies heavily on this thing called natural language processing, NLP. I don't actually understand it. People like Dawn Anderson would know how to explain it. I don't know. All I know is that it is how it parses text in all different languages to try and understand what that text is saying. Now, this is where schema markup comes in. Many years ago, the big search engines, so your Yahoo, Yandex, Google, Bing, they came together and said, okay, I'm paraphrasing, I'm making this up. The conversation, right? They did come together, but they was like, hey guys, how do we save money and not spend so much resources trying to understand the internet? So they ratified this standardized way of code, and there's three types of code that you can use that those engines, their search engines, can pretty much understand. So instead of interpreting text, which are strings, schema markup is a set of standardized languages that the search engines created and then thus understand without the need to interpret. And therefore, you could quite literally say schema markup is SEO. I'll leave it at that.
That's deep. That's very deep. But I suppose that that's quite interesting what you touched upon there, that it was actually, it's not just a Google thing, but, you know, the other search engines that we know in the world, right? They coming together, they want to understand in sort of like a unified way in terms of what things mean, what context is. But I suppose then the question is, why do you, from an SEO perspective, because there's so many different things that you can do in SEO, why would you say that schema markup is important? And actually, do you find it to be more or less important than other things that people generally associate as a sort of practice or technique within SEO?
I think importance is extremely subjective, and it's going to depend heavily on the type of website you have, the resources that you have, and perhaps that marketing tech stack. You know, one could argue that you need text on a web page for Google to understand it, and I don't think any of us would disagree. A blank page serves no purpose, and there's nothing to infer from that. And therefore, you could say on-page is important, but at the same time, for those of us who have been doing SEO and have written many content briefs, have written a lot of content, and then looked at the crap results on the SERPs, on-page SEO has somewhat led us to write a very formulaic way. So short, simple sentences, short paragraphs, get to the point. And again, this comes back to that NLP stuff. It's easier for a search engine to understand really short, succinct topics without, you know, really complex sentences. In English language, we have run-on sentences. Like you can have like four topics in one sentence, and somehow the human brain can comprehend what we're saying. But a machine, it could get there, but it takes a lot longer. And that's why schema markup is so important, in my opinion anyway, because you're directly telling the search engine, hey, this is what I'm talking about. This is the main topic, and these are the subtopics, And this is how you can figure out what I'm talking about. And these are all the relationships between the things. And there's this nice phrase that is common in schema markup and knowledge graphs. It's called things, not strings. And, you know, when I was first investigating this stuff called schema markup, I couldn't figure out what that meant. But essentially, you have two things. So you have structured data, which is what you're trying to describe using schema markup. And then you have unstructured data. And so that's all the text, letters, words, sentences that you have on a web page. And essentially what we're trying to do with schema markup is to turn that unstructured data into structured data, because machines easily understand what structured data is, because you've told them exactly what that thing is. And therefore, that's why I said earlier, schema markup is literally a form of search engine optimization, because you're delivering what the topics are, what the things are on that web page are to the search engine. So it doesn't have to kind of guess. And that can be very beneficial depending on, again, the type of website. Now, for your run-of-the-mill blogger, maybe that's not so important. But for a lot of those enterprise sites where they, for some reason, are very JavaScript front-end heavy, where they don't have a pre-rendering solution, I don't know why they don't have one, but they don't have one, then you could use schema markup, as long as you can inject it via HTML, to use as a shortcut to tell search engine, this is what you can expect on the page. And then when it does render the JavaScript, it can validate that content. And so there are various ways that you can use schema markup. I think most of us are familiar with FAQ page and how-to schema. As of 2023, of course, we know Google has deprecated that in terms of it's no longer showing those features. But that, I think, those rich results got a lot of people interested in schema markup, although perhaps for the wrong reasons, while we were trying to chase rich results. But essentially, very long way of answering your question, Itamar, is that schema markup is an effective way to tell a search engine what you're talking about, and more importantly, why it's important to a specific audience, because you can specify that, and more importantly, so that it can understand those two things and then serve it to the right people. Now, I need a caveat and say this, is that if you could tell a search engine exactly what you're talking about and who it's for, then you could perhaps expect your organic traffic to drop, because it's no longer giving it to a broad range of audiences. So that's something to think about.
Well, that, yeah, a lot to unpack there for sure. And now I'm going to throw you a, I don't really want to say curveball, because it's not much of a curveball, but it's more of just a thought where, in the sense how people try to market schema markup as an SEO, and you're trying to, say, tell a client or business owner about why they need it, a lot of times I feel like, from what I've seen and heard, they more shift it towards the EEAT concepts about how it can help a website really show their credibility, and you're providing that context for search engines so that they understand that. Now, if we take that as the assumption, but also understanding what has been said around how EEAT, for example, as a principle, isn't a ranking factor, then what would you say is the sort of main driver of why people, or why websites should need it? I know you made the distinction between, you know, the more enterprise sites, if they don't have pre-rendering and it's a bit hard to just sort of see what's on there from first glance. But what would you say that reason is? And obviously, if we take that into account of why, you know, if it's to do with helping EEAT, but EEAT isn't a ranking factor, is it more of a sustainability play, a future-proofing play? What do you think about that?
Oh, I have so much to say about this. And I think I should write down notes so I don't forget. But I'll try to stay on track. So I love that you said that EEAT is not a ranking factor, because it clearly is not. It's a concept. It's a guiding principle for what we as people of the custodians of the internet should be doing or striving for in terms of the content that we produce. Now, when it comes to schema, there are certain things you can do it, and it's very powerful. So you can say, this is a web page, or this is an article. This is authored by, and then you can connect it to another schema type, which is a person, and you can pretty much name and define who that person is. You could even go, this was reviewed by, or there was an editor. Again, you connected to a person. So you're pretty much declaring this content has been touched by these real people. But that in itself, Google doesn't go off and validate this kind of stuff. It's not going to boost your EEAT score, not that there is one, but in theory. I know some affiliate people have reached out to me and asked for, can you you know, do our schema markup for us and pretty much create a templatized author or person schema for their fake profiles. And I was like, I can do it for you, but it's not going to do much. But, you know, if you want to pay me a lot of money, sure, why not? But essentially, coming back to what's the point of it, it's, I like that you mentioned future proofing, because this is where we kind of bounce from schema markup, which is the execution arm of it, and into semantic SEO, which is what we're trying to achieve here. So most of us are aware of on-page, technical, off-page SEO. Semantic SEO is not semantic HTML, but it's more how do you develop understanding of things for a search engine. So Google has its knowledge graph, and it's huge. Like, I don't think any of us can kind of even fathom how big that is, because it's kind of understood a lot of people, a lot of businesses, a lot of things and concepts. And that is the knowledge graph. And the point of turning, again, unstructured data, text, into structured data is so that, I'm going to throw in a new word here, entities, which is essentially are things. You're trying to describe these things so that it gets entered into Google's knowledge graph, so that the future of search. Now, I don't know when this is. It might not be next week. It might be next year. It could be in 5 years' time. I don't know. But the future of search for semantic SEO is that Google doesn't need you to describe all these things for it, because it's already learned it. It already knows how everything is connected to each other. And therefore, when you're searching for something, when you're typing it into query, or maybe in the future, we're not even typing. Maybe we're thinking it. I don't know. But whatever. As long as search is around and Google is that primary search engine, it can figure out exactly what you want and serve you the right stuff. And that really is the future of semantic SEO. Now, again, we're not there yet. And therefore, what we're trying to do with schema markup is to inform Google and other search engines what we're talking about and how, more importantly, how they relate to each other and why me as a business, me as a person, why it should trust me as a source of that information. Now, I said the word trust, and that is a very charged word, because machines don't trust. Humans trust. It's an emotional thing, but machines, they can't trust. But all they can do is look at external documents to validate it. And I guess there's a threshold. Again, I don't know what that magical number is or percentage, but if it can validate enough external sources of what you're claiming through your schema markups, for example, I'm a person, I went to this uni, I have this experience, I worked here. If you can validate enough of those data points, then it essentially has a machine's version of trust.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose then, in a way, I'm thinking about it as like, are we, on the one side, you could be like, oh, we're actually doing Google's job for it to just better train it. Like, we are the guinea pigs in this sort of scenario. But then the other side of it is actually to make sure that Google and other search engines do understand what it is we're trying to do, so that if we didn't have, let's say, schema markup in place, it might actually take different associations and see our site or our content in a light that is different from what we intended. So I suppose, obviously, yeah, we talk about future proofing, and I suppose that to me personally, that's a big part of it, because it's like, at some point, I would imagine things change. You know, you look at the way that how Google's developed even in the last 5 years, right? So that aspect of how can we put principles in place that will help benefit us for the long term is the sort of way I see that. The where I want to sort of get to the final part here, which is quite interesting, is from your perspective. Obviously, when it comes to schema, we have types, we have properties. There's, you know, in terms of types, there's almost 1,000 different types. So what have you found through your experience to be the most impactful types, or maybe your favorite schema types to use, and why?
Okay, so I think schema.org has like 803 schema types, or types of schemas, and that's a lot. And I don't expect most of us to be using them. Like, we could, like I could, from an educational point of view or curiosity, try and use as many as possible. But here's the thing, schema.org is a collaborative community that defines what we can use to describe schema. Google, on the other hand, yes, they had a role in playing in creating schema.org, but they have their own set of rules of what they want to use schema markup for. And so those two things, even though they're interrelated, are very different. There's like literally a wall between them. And so Google will take, for example, FAQ schema. It took it from just a way of marking up a type of FAQ page into, let's just turn it into rich results. And therefore, all of us SEOs for at least the last 5 years spam the hell out of it. And that's why it's kind of gone. But when it comes to, for example, let's say, sorry, Demar, I've actually forgotten the question.
Oh, no, just talking about types. So, for, you know, what
oh,
types
yes, that's right. do, yes, you, do you like yes, to use? Yes. You know? Yes. Okay. So I think, as I was saying, you could lose yourself in all the different types. I think what's important is focus on what you can describe and remember why you're trying to do it. So the most basic two types for me are always going to be an organization type or its subtypes of organizations. So you can have local, business, and so on and so forth. And the other schema type that I would always recommend someone to do or investigate is person schema, because those are the two things. You're either a person on the internet or you're representing a business on the internet. And those are the two sources of information that is pumping out content on a daily basis. And so what you want to do with those two schema types is to build a connection. So for example, let's say I'm writing an article on Studio Hawk. I'm a person, right? And therefore, I will say I was the author of that content. But then I could also go, this webpage is published by, or you could even go published by the organization, which is Studio Hawk. Or you can say, I, as the person, works for Studio Hawk. So there's different ways you can make that connection. But as long as you make that connection, then you're giving meaning, therefore context, to a machine such as a search engine to go, oh, okay, this person seems to have some credibility. It's posted, well, this person has posted numerous articles on similar topics. And I can see from the schema markup, they work for this business. This business operates in this area and so on and so forth. And then the whole purpose of the organization schema is not to really get a knowledge panel, even though that is possible, but rather, again, you're validating it as an entity or a thing that Google can then, across time, trust as a source for certain types of information.
Yeah, I mean, spot on. I would agree with you for sure, because I think, you know, it's very easy to sort of, if somebody goes on schema.org and they look at all the schema types and they're just like, okay, there's a lot here. But I suppose, you know, having that fundamental framework of like these, you know, like you say, if there's a must have in terms of if you're going to use any schema type, really, then, you know, organization or the different sort of subtypes with that, and person is absolutely fundamental. I would 100% agree with you there. Daniel, obviously, there's so much more that we can jump into with schema, but I feel like I don't want to give all the nuggets away just in this episode. So if I was to say, where can people find you if they want to learn more or potentially, you know, hire you as a schema markup consultant?
So you can find me a lot on LinkedIn. So I'm named after myself, Daniel Kei Chung. You can also find me on my website where you can see or read a lot of the guides that I put out trying to explain not just a theoretical application of schema markup and semantic SEO, but how do you put it into practice on any type of website using a particular language of schema markup, which is JSON LD. And I go through various examples of how you can connect your website to a person, to an organization, what type of schema you should have on certain types of pages so that you can get started. Because let's say most of us have a website, it's probably running on WordPress. There are certain plugins, obviously, that come that you can add onto it that automate certain types of schema markup. That's a good start. And I must commend Yoast for trying to mark up every single thing. But every single thing that is not necessarily important when it comes to schema markup. And I think that's something I haven't really mentioned, is that when it comes to marking up certain things on a web page, you should be really just describing the important things on a page. You don't have to describe every sentence, every word. You're not trying to do that. You're trying to mark up the important things and how they relate to each other so that the Google search engine can somewhat understand what you're trying to talk about. And so I guess that's what I've been trying to get across in my LinkedIn sharing and on my website. But look, if you're interested in schema markup, there is the world's your oyster, because not many people do it. And not many people do it right. And when, if let's say you work agency side or you work in-house or you're just like a freelancer or consultant, there is so much opportunity there for you to learn about it and apply it and to add value to a business.
Do you know, I can absolutely vouch for the content you produce on your site, on LinkedIn and other social media. You do such an amazing job, honestly, in terms of, you know, informing people about this stuff. So really thank you on behalf of pretty much the industry for doing that. But Daniel, it's been an absolute pleasure. And yeah, hope you've enjoyed it. Hope the audience out there listening in have enjoyed it as well. And yeah, if you have any questions, reach out to Daniel. And other than that, thank you for listening or watching, and we'll see you in the next episode.